Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. So glad you're here tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, the holidays can be a pretty stressful time, right? You know, with all the shopping and the wrapping and the baking and, you know, seeing relatives, some of them you don't really want to see. Maybe they're here with you tonight. No, I'm just joking. But the holidays can be really stressful, right? And sometimes when we're kind of stressed, we end up overeating. We eat more than we should. So if that's you, I have some good news for you tonight. I have a diet for stress. This is a diet for stress. And so if you just follow this diet, your stress level around the holidays will go way, way down, all right? Now, I'm just going to give you a little snapshot, just one day in this diet. You might want to write some of this down or take pictures of the video screen because we're going to show you one day in this diet. So here's what you have. You want to reduce the stress in your life. For breakfast, you get half a grapefruit, one slice of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of skim milk. Pretty standard, right, for diets? But for lunch, you get 4 ounces of broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed spinach, a cup of herb tea, and you get 1 Oreo cookie. It's kind of nice, right? Then you get a mid-afternoon snack, which is the rest of the Oreos in the package, 2 pints of Rocky Road ice cream with nuts, cherries, and whipped cream, and 1 jar of hot fudge sundae. Hot fudge sauce. That's not all. For dinner, you get 2 loaves of garlic bread, 4 cans of Pepsi, 1 large sausage, mushroom, and cheese pizza, and 3 Snickers bars. And that's not it. You also get a late evening snack. You get an entire pie from Costco. You get to choose whatever kind you want. I mean, that is a great diet for stress, right? You're not going to feel stressed at all if you stick to that diet. And by the way, I just want to remind you, stressed, spelled backwards, is the word desserts. All right, just saying. Well, tomorrow, the entire world basically shuts down, and we focus on one event, don't we? Offices are closed, schools are closed, freeways are empty, and the whole world focuses on this one event that we call Christmas. I mean, why is that? Why is Christmas such a big deal? I mean, how can a baby born 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world stop traffic in Phoenix in 2021? You know why? Because he was no ordinary baby. Now, that baby was actually God. See, the Bible says that God came to earth when that baby was born. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. It totally split history in two. BC and AD are split in two because of the birth of that baby, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me that when God entered this world, that he chose to enter it the exact same way that all of us did, as a baby. Why did God do that? Because God didn't want to scare us. Nobody's afraid of a baby. Nobody's afraid of a baby, right? But Jesus didn't stay a baby. No, the Bible says that Jesus grew up and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And then at 33 years of age, he willingly died on a cross. And all of our sins, your sins and mine, were put on his body on that cross. And why would Jesus do that? So human beings could have a chance to be saved from the penalty of their sins. Jesus Christ's birth was the biggest deal in the history of the world. And because Jesus Christ came to earth, there are 3 things that can be true in your life and mine. First of all, my past can be forgiven. My past can be forgiven. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, that word sin there in the Bible, it literally means to miss the mark. It's actually an archery term. And when an archer shoots at a target, they want to hit bullseye. Dead center perfect. And if they don't, it's called a sin. They've missed the mark. And how that applies to your life and mine is anytime we live less than dead center perfect, anytime we think a wrong thought, do a wrong deed, say a wrong word, we have sinned. That's why the Bible says all of us, we've all missed the mark. We've all done things we wish we wouldn't have done. You know, I love reading those letters to Santa Claus that little kids write at this time of year. Sometimes they post them online. I want to read one to you. It says this: Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live in our house. There's Jeffrey, he's 2 years old. There's David, he's 4 years old. And there's Norman, and he's 7 years old. Jeffrey's good some of the time. David's good some of the time. But Norman is good all the time. I am Norman. The problem is, none of us are Normans, are we? No, none of us are good all the time. We all have things we wish wouldn't have thought or done or said. And because of that, oftentimes that produces guilt inside of us. And that guilt robs us of happiness. That guilt can actually cause depression in us at times. It can even make us physically sick. Guilt does all kinds of negative things inside of us because we don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to get rid of our guilt. And people try all kinds of things to try and get rid of their guilt. They'll take drugs. They'll get drunk. They'll try therapy. They'll go on vacation. They'll fantasize. They'll get involved in affairs, all kinds of stuff. But none of those things work. They don't get rid of guilt. See, there's only one solution to guilt. You know what it is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the good news is that God wants to forgive you this Christmas. He wants to clear your conscience. And when God forgives you, there are several things that you need to know. One is that God's forgiveness is instantaneous. God doesn't make you wait a long period of time to forgive you when you ask him. No, he will forgive you instantaneously the moment you ask him. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, meaning to God, God is faithful, he's righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's forgiveness is instantaneous. Second thing about God's forgiveness, it's undeserved. You'll never earn it. You can't work for it. It's completely undeserved. And the third thing about God's forgiveness, it's complete. It's complete. The Bible says that when you ask God to forgive your sin, it is so complete that God not only forgives it, but he also chooses to forget it. Isn't that amazing? God chooses to forgive your sin. You know, if you were to die tonight, God forbid, but if you were to die tonight and you're a follower of Jesus, let's say that you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to stand before Jesus. And one of the things that might come to your mind when you stand before Jesus, you might say something to Jesus like, "Now, Jesus, I just want to explain about that immorality I got involved in." You know what Jesus is going to say to you? He's going to say, "I don't have any record of immorality. You confess that to me. I don't have a record." "Well, now, Jesus, about that divorce. I don't have any record of a divorce." "Well, you know, Jesus, that porn that I got him, I don't have any record of any of that stuff." See, when Jesus forgives you, he not only forgives you, but he chooses to forget. In fact, the Bible says when God forgives you, he throws your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And then he puts up a sign that says, "No fishing." No fishing. Now, you might be here tonight, you might be online and say, "Well, Brian, you don't know what I've done." That's right, I don't, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done. Look at this verse in Isaiah 1. "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." How do they become white? by just asking God to forgive you. All you have to do is ask. It's good news. That's one reason why Christmas is such a big deal. Because without Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying for our sins, there would be no way for us to be forgiven. Second thing that can be true in my life and yours because Jesus came to earth is my present can be managed. And that's important because life can really wear you down, can it? In fact, so many people are so stressed out these days over their life and just over life in general. And so people are looking for anything to bring them added energy and added peace. And so if that's something you're looking for, I have good news for you. The Christ who came at Christmas 2,000 years ago can give you the power and the peace that you're looking for to manage your present problems. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians 4, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. That means that no matter what problem comes your way, with Christ, you can handle it. We don't know what 2022 is going to hold. Thank God we're past 2020 and 2021. And I pray to God 2022 is better than those two were. But no matter what happens in 2022, we know that with Christ, we'll be able to handle it. Because he'll help us. And he'll supply us with all of our needs if we surrender our life fully to him. All right, third thing that can be true in my life because Jesus came to earth is my future can be guaranteed. My future can be guaranteed. Hebrews 2 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son, meaning Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could Jesus set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Death is a universal problem, isn't it? Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. All of us have to face death. In fact, every year I keep reading the same stat that the mortality rate around the world always hovers right around 100%. And so since we're all going to die, don't you think that it would be foolish to go all through life totally unprepared for something that we know is inevitable? Yeah, it makes sense to get prepared for something we know is going to happen, doesn't it? In fact, I would say to you that you're really not ready to live until you're ready to die. And I know, people don't like to talk about death. I get that. They don't. If you don't think that's true, then after the service, invite some people over to your house sometime this coming week. And when they come over, sit down and say, hey, let's talk about death for a while. See how that goes. Why don't people like to talk about death? You know why? Because they're afraid of it. Why are they afraid of death? Because they're unsure of what's going to happen when they face God after they die. And the truth is, you are going to face God when you die. You are. I mean, you can run from God your whole life, but there'll come a time when you can't run any longer. In fact, it says in Hebrews 9, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. See, we only die once, and then judgment comes. Biblically, there's no such thing as reincarnation. You only die once, and then you stand before God. And the Bible says that God already knows when that time of our death for every one of us already is. He already knows. But God doesn't want us to fear it. God doesn't want us to fear death. In fact, we just read in Hebrews 2:15, that Jesus came to set us free from the fear of death. How does Jesus do that? Well, if you already know where you're going, and you already know God personally, you have a relationship with Him and a friendship with Him, then you don't have anything to be afraid of. In fact, the truth is, for a follower of Jesus, death is just a homecoming. It's just a transition to better things. For a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that when you die, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears, there's none of those kinds of things. No more difficulties. There's no more Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. I know some of you. I know where you're going right after this. You got to get your shopping done. No more after Christmas dieting, none of that stuff. Now, at Christmas time, probably the word that all of us have heard more than any other word over the past month or so is the word gift. Gift, right? Everybody's super concerned about purchasing the right gifts, wrapping the gifts right, receiving, you know, the right gifts. Let me ask you, have you ever received a gift, like within a gift? Like somebody gave you something like a pair of socks, and you're like, oh, brother. Then you'd open it up, and it's like a $100 bill in there or something. A gift within a gift. Well, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you actually get three other gifts. You get three other gifts, but they're all wrapped up in the one big gift of Jesus. See, God's gifts to you this Christmas, besides Jesus, are three other gifts. First of all, you get the gift of forgiveness. Ephesians 1 says, so we praise God for the glorious grace He's poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. See, that takes care of my past. The gift of forgiveness. The other gift, second gift that God gives you is the gift of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That takes care of my present. God will give me the strength and the peace to handle whatever comes my way. And then the third gift that's wrapped up in the gift of Jesus is the gift of eternal life. That's the best one. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there are several things about these three gifts that I want you to notice. First of all three of them are very personal. And what I mean by that is they all come in a person. They come in the person of Jesus Christ. They're personal. Second thing about those gifts, they're all very practical. They're exactly what you and I need. They take care of our past, our present, and our future. And the third thing I want you to notice about those gifts is they're priceless. They cost God the Father His only Son, and they cost Jesus His life. And by the way, that shows how valuable you are. You know, when anybody gives you a really valuable gift, it tells you how much they value, that they really feel like you're worth a lot. God says, you are so valuable to me. Now, in light of that, I have a question that I want you to ask yourself this Christmas. A question to ask yourself as you prepare for Christmas. I want you to ask yourself, have I received God's Christmas gift of Jesus Christ? Have I received that gift of Jesus Christ? I mean, can you imagine getting a Christmas gift and never opening it? That'd be like weird, wouldn't it? Like, for example, let's say that you got me a Christmas gift, which, by the way, would be a very wonderful thing for you to do. Just teasing. But you gave me a Christmas gift, and then maybe a month from now, you see me out in the lobby, and you're like, hey, Brian, how'd you like my Christmas gift? And if I said something to you like, well, I know I'm going to love it, I just haven't got around to unwrapping it yet. You'd be like, that's kind of weird. And then maybe another month goes by and you see me again. You're like, hey, Brian, how'd you like my gift? If I told you the same thing, well, I know I'm going to love it. I just haven't opened it yet. That's just super weird, right? Well, the tragedy is so many people celebrate Christmas year after year after year, and yet they've never received and opened God's Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. They've never experienced the gift that Christmas is all about. So how about you? Have you received God's gift of forgiveness from your past, strength and peace for your present, and eternal life for your future through his Son, Jesus Christ? Because until you receive that gift, you can't really celebrate Christmas. Now you might say, well, Brian, how do I do that? How do I receive God's gift of Jesus Christ? By believing in and committing your life to Jesus Christ. By believing in and committing your life to Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, Brian, I believe in Jesus. Is that all there is to it? Well, it's not just believing in the intellectual sense. It's so much more than that. Let me explain it to you this way. You know, many, many years ago in the mid-1800s, there was a world-famous tightrope walker by the name of Charles Blondin. And he made an announcement that he was going to walk across a tightrope across Niagara Falls. This is the mid-1800s, and so thousands and thousands of people came out to see this because this was certain death. If he fell off the tightrope, he's going to fall into Niagara Falls. So they string this tightrope across, and Blondin, you saw the picture, gets on this tightrope, and very carefully, he eventually makes it all the way across Niagara Falls. People are applauding, clapping, does it a couple of times. Then he said to the crowd, I'm going to make this a little more difficult. So he got a wheelbarrow, and he takes a wheelbarrow, and he begins taking this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. Makes it all the way across. People are cheering, applauding. He says, I'm going to make it a little more difficult than that. He fills the wheelbarrow with dirt. And he's, you know, very shakily, he makes it all the way across. Does this several times. The last time he does it, he comes across. And he comes up to a tourist. And he says to the tourist, hey, what'd you think about my tightrope walking? The tourist says, man, I think you're the greatest tightrope walker in the world. I believe you could do that all day long. Blondin said, you really believe in me, huh? Guy says, yeah, man, I really believe in you. Blondin dumps the dirt out of the wheelbarrow and says, okay, I want you to get in the wheelbarrow. See, that is very much like what Jesus Christ says to you and me. He says, if you really believe in me, then you have to commit your whole life to me. You have to get in the wheelbarrow. So let me ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever really committed your entire life to Jesus Christ?
Okay. Here we go. In 3, 2.
I grew up in church. I was baptized early. I joined the military when I got older. And God blessed me with a beautiful wife and family. All the while, I went to church every Sunday. I considered myself to be a good Christian, but I wasn't a good Christian. I was a Sunday Christian. Every Sunday, I was in church doing Christian things, singing the Lord's praises, listening to the Word, and praying my heart out. During the week, church was probably the farthest thing from my mind. Now I'm out in the world, I'm doing worldly things, I'm busy, I'm not really thinking about God, I'm trying to handle all my own problems on my own. One day I got a postcard about the vineyard, and the first weekend that I went, it seemed like Brian's message was directed right at me. So I started going to church every Sunday at the vineyard, but I was still only a Sunday Christian. And then I had a midlife crisis. I had been drifting through life, and I didn't know what I wanted, but I needed to make a change. I moved out of my house and into an apartment alone. For several years, I tried everything I could think of to find myself. Advice from friends, reading books, counseling, you name it. Nothing worked. So I finally decided to pray about it. I'm sure God was like, duh. God was faithful, gave me a clear sign it was time to go home and reclaim the life He'd gifted me. It was humbling to ask my wife to move back home. I'm sure it was how the prodigal son felt, who'd squandered everything he'd been given. God had given me a second chance to get it right, and I was determined to do just that. It's amazing what happens when you really commit your life to Jesus Christ. I gave up those unchristian things. I started following God's word. I started tithing. I joined a small group. I started serving at the vineyard, using the talents that God gave me. I stopped going to church every Sunday, and I started going to church every day, in my mind and in my heart. Surrendering fully to Jesus was the best decision I've ever made. My wife and I are happier than we've ever been. We recently celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary. I have a wonderful church family here at the Vineyard. I'm retired, and I found a new purpose in life by singing at senior communities throughout the valley. Jesus transformed my life, and I finally found true peace, happiness, and joy. My name is Ted Burrows, and this is my story.
Now, I know all of you are here for different reasons. You know, maybe you're here because this is the traditional thing that you do on Christmas Eve, or, you know, maybe you're here for the music. Maybe somebody at work invited you, and they've been inviting you, and you're like, I'm just going to get them off my back. I'm going to go one time. Maybe you're here because of that. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter why you think you're here. You're here because God brought you here. He's the one who brought you here. And He brought you here because He wanted to say something to you through me. God wants to say to every one of you, you matter to me more than you'll ever know. You matter to me. Your pain matters to me. The good things in your life matter to me. Your life matters to me. And I have a gift for you this Christmas, God says. It's the gift of my Son. Please, God says, receive my Christmas gift to you of Jesus Christ. I would say as your pastor, don't waste another Christmas by refusing God's free gift of Jesus into your life. Completely surrender everything to Him. Get in the wheelbarrow. You can do it tonight. Would you pray with me? I'm going to ask you, whether you're online or in person, just to close your eyes for a minute. There's nothing magic about closing your eyes, but it helps block out distractions. And this is a holy moment. It's between you and God. And you matter to Him. And He wants to have a deep relationship with you. And there are some of you here that you've never gotten in the wheelbarrow. You've never fully committed your life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. In fact, you might say, well, Brian, if I wanted to do that, how would I begin? Well, I'm going to say a prayer of surrender in just a moment. And if you want to repeat this prayer to God from your heart, you don't have to pray it out loud, but you have to really mean it and do your best to connect with God from your heart, then you can get in the wheelbarrow tonight. You can commit your life fully to Jesus and receive God's Christmas gift to you. And then I think there are some of you here that you've committed your life to Jesus. You got in the wheelbarrow at one time. But if the truth were known, you're not really walking with Jesus. Maybe you haven't been for months, maybe years. And it's time for you to get back in to recommit your life to Jesus. And I pray you can do that in your heart as well. To just pray something like, God, I know that I've done wrong things in my life. I've said wrong words, thought wrong thoughts, I've done wrong deeds. And I know I need forgiveness. God, would you please forgive me right now for all the wrong things that I've ever done or said or thought? I want a new start. Would you wipe the slate of my heart clean? And right now, God, to the best that I know how, I want to get in the wheelbarrow and I want to trust my whole life to Jesus. Now, maybe there's something else that you need to do business with God about right now in your heart. Maybe if you've sort of backslidden from the Lord and you need to make things right, just take these moments and do that. You know, for some of you, though, you prayed that prayer and you got in the wheelbarrow tonight for the very first time. I want to say a couple of things about that. First of all, you have no idea how thrilled God is in heaven with your desire to get in the wheelbarrow and really trust your entire life to Him. In fact, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are having a party talking about your name. They're rejoicing over you. God is thrilled. But one of the things God does when people surrender their life to Him is that He doesn't allow them to keep it between just God and them. He makes them go public. That's part of what water baptism is. You know, it's going public. But whenever I give an opportunity for people to surrender their life to Jesus in our church services, I want them to go public right away. And one of the reasons I want to do that is because I've been pastoring a long time now, and I've found that when people don't really go public about that, it never really takes inside of them. And they just so easily go back to their old lifestyle. They have to get it out of the darkness and into the light and let people know, you know, I made this decision. I want to follow Jesus. I surrendered my life to Jesus. And so whenever I do this, like I did tonight, I challenge people to go public right then. So in a moment, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous, really brave. I'm going to ask you to go public right here in this room. And the way I'm going to ask you to do that is by standing up wherever you're seated and walking down here to the front and letting all of us know that you're going public about this. I want to say a special prayer for you. And then I want to have some of our ministry team members gather around you and pray for you as well and get some information from you so that we can send you some information later. But I know for it to really take, you have to go public. Now I know if you prayed that prayer for the first time and now I'm talking about coming to the front, man, it's scary. You might be thinking, well, what if I'm the only one? You probably won't be. You probably won't. But even if you are, you know, I said, This is something that you really have to mean if you pray this. It has to be the real deal. And so if it is the real deal, it doesn't matter who else knows. It doesn't matter. And then second of all, in a moment when I ask people to come to the front, the majority of us who end up not coming to the front, the reason we don't is because we've already done this before. We've already received Jesus, and we're followers of Jesus, and we love it when God adds more people to His family. So we're already on your side. You don't have to be afraid of us, okay? So, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you're brave enough to go public tonight, so I can say a special prayer for you, I want you right now to get up, come down to the front, and say, I'm getting in the wheelbarrow tonight. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Come on, wherever you are, stand up right now. Walk down to the front. Stand up. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Whether you're up in the upper decks, come on. I prayed that prayer. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't dilly-dally. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, you're saying, I gave my life to Jesus. I prayed that prayer. And I'm willing, I'm brave enough to go public. Come on, come on, come on, keep coming, keep coming. You know, maybe you're here with someone and you prayed that prayer. Just, I'm so proud of you guys. Just face me right here. Just face me. I know there's more. I know there's more. Maybe you prayed that prayer and you're like, you're a little skittish about going forward and doing this. If you came with a friend or a loved one and they're sitting next to you, would you just grab their hand right now and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer, but I want some moral support. Would you go with me? Would you go with me? And they'll be happy to go with you. So right now, grab somebody's hand and say, come on, would you go with me? Come on, come on. God bless you. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, no matter where you are, you prayed that prayer, I'm getting in the wheelbarrow. I'm fully surrendering my life to Jesus. This is the night that I'm receiving God's Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. Come on, come on, come on. I know there's more. Come on, come on, come on. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. If you prayed this prayer, come on. This is your night. This is your night. This is the best Christmas Eve you will ever have. I promise you, this will be the best Christmas Eve if you prayed this. God bless you. Running down the aisle. I love that. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Now, there's still time to come, so just feel free to come. But I want to say to those of you who are up here, man, this is the most important decision you'll ever make for several reasons. One reason is because this not only takes care of your time here on earth, God's going to begin to change you from the inside out. But more importantly, God's going to change your eternity as well. And so now, you know, the Bible says you've been translated out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And now you're headed for an eternal life with God. So it is it's the most important decision that you will ever make. And one of your next steps is that God wants you to be water baptized. You know, we're going to do a water baptism in January. That's one of your next steps. So make sure that you take our water baptism class. We'll be telling you more about that in the coming weeks. And then make sure you sign up to be water baptized. It's about the middle of January or so, okay? Now, we're going to get some ministry team. Come on, you guys. Come on, keep coming. We're going to get some ministry team members to come up and surround you. And I'm going to say a prayer for you. And then they're going to get some information from you, all right? So don't leave until they get information. So come on, small group leaders, ministry team members, if you guys would come to the front right now and get around these friends up here. And would the rest of you agree with me in prayer for the people that have come forward? And if you prayed that prayer online, you need to go public as well. And so you need to hit the prayer button that's on your screen, and one of our team members will get with you, and we'll be able to follow up with you as well, all right? Would you guys pray with me? Lord, we're so grateful for these men, women, and children who have said to you tonight, oh God, that they want to receive your Christmas gift to them of Jesus Christ, and they want to get fully in the wheelbarrow with their whole life and follow you, Jesus, on your narrow path. I pray, God, that you'd bring the right people around them to help them in this new journey. I pray, God, that you would show them the right small group, the right group to be a part of that would help disciple them. God, I pray that you would bless them in every way. Bless their bodies tonight. Bless their souls tonight. Bless their spirits tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those of you that are around them, if you have something to pray, go ahead and pray with them. Or get some information from them, okay? Now, before we go, I want to pray a blessing over us. So if everybody would please stand. And I want to pray a blessing over us. God, thank you for all my friends, both online and in person. And as they go their separate ways this Christmas Eve, God, I ask as their pastor that you would bless them, you would keep them, you would cause your face to shine upon them, you'd be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You have to say Merry Christmas to five people on your way out. God bless you. See you soon.